God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is from our gospel reading as we have Peter doing sort of a little bit of a turnaround, hence the title of the message, Now You See Him, Now You Don't. Peter makes that bold confession of faith when Jesus asks his disciples, Who do you say that I am? Peter says, You are the Christ. But then gets things mixed up a little bit later on, and Jesus has to rebuke Peter and says, Get behind me, Satan. Peter goes from making this beautiful confession to now being a messenger of Satan. Can we make that change, that reversal so quickly? And the answer to that is yes. Now you see him, now you don't. A cliche in today's world fits well with our text. Just before our lesson, if I could just add a few more verses to it, we have Matthew's account of healing of a blind man. And what's interesting about, I'm sorry, Mark's account. And what's interesting about this account is this account does not occur in Matthew, Luke, or John. There's no other parallels in the other Gospels. It's unique. It's also unique in another way that Jesus' first touch of this blind man doesn't quite heal him of his blindness. Jesus asks him, Now, can you see? And the response was, Well, I see men, but they look like trees walking. So Jesus has to do it again. And it almost comes and begs the question, Is Jesus almighty? Yes or no? Why did Jesus need a second application of his healing? And maybe a better way of describing that is when it comes to sight, sometimes we think we can see, but maybe we really don't. Hence, now you see him, now you don't. The healing is followed then by Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah. And then Peter's fumble here. Now, please notice that Peter did get one answer correct, who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. But then he sort of misses the point about what Jesus must do. Jesus, as he clearly says, is going to be handed over. He's going to suffer and he's going to die. He's actually going to go to the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and my sins. And what Peter didn't quite understand and fully comprehend at this moment is that his need of a Savior. And what kind of Savior does that he needs? Too often the people at this time thought that their Savior would be kicking out the Romans, establishing a new form of government. And if you would ask the people here in the United States of America what kind of Savior they need now, they'd be looking more for some sort of economic-type Savior, a Savior to turn around the economy, to bring jobs, to bring us back to the way things were before. And it is that mindset that makes us lose sight of who our Savior really is and what our Savior is supposed to accomplish. Yes, Peter did a great job in boldly confessing Jesus to be the Christ, but then failed to see what Jesus was really supposed to accomplish. Likewise, today, there are many Christians who claim that they see, but then are focused on the wrong type of Messiah. And the reason why we run into this situation is because of our temporal blindness, so to speak, because of original sin. Now, when we talk about original sin, what are we talking about? The Apology of the Augsburg Confession lists original sin in these categories: an ignorance of God, a contempt for God, the absence of the fear of and trust in God, and an inability to love God. Now, God comes and touches our lives because we are unable to. God touches our lives with his word and with holy baptism. But the sinful nature of us, that original sin, is still part of the fabric of our body and who we are. which then brings about sometimes that temporal blindness. Because our original sin does not want to recognize who the Christ really is and would rather gravitate toward making God in our own image, or at least what we would want of a God. So what must Jesus really do? What kind of Messiah is he really? Our text for today points out that he will suffer, he will be rejected, he will be killed, and on the third day he will rise again. All these things point to a Messiah who is going to reattach humanity back to its Creator. It is because of our sin and our sinful nature we are separated from God. But now, because of Christ, we get to be reconnected. And this is the good news that Christianity should be proclaiming. The good news that we have a Messiah to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil. The problem comes in that not everyone is looking for this kind of Messiah. There are some who are going around doing quote-unquote good in this world and are thinking of doing good by godly standards, but still have no concept of who the Messiah really is. And this is nothing new. If you think about Jesus for a moment, up to his death and resurrection, who was handing Jesus over to be crucified? The religious leaders. The religious leaders who were thinking they were following God's will and saw Jesus as one who was upsetting the religious establishment. They had a different definition of who that Messiah was. Not a Messiah who was going to deliver them from sin and death. No, they didn't necessarily thought that they had sin. They thought they were good enough. Because when it comes to sin, very often we can always point the finger at other people and saying, they're more of a sinner than I am. Almost that sort of begs the question, since I can find someone in this world who sins more than I am, then I must be going to heaven. Strangely enough, I run across people who fit this category very quickly. If I'm not wearing my collar, so to speak, and I'm interacting with someone, they don't necessarily know that I'm a pastor. And then when I tell them, or they ask, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a pastor of a Christian congregation in West Chicago. They sometimes get defensive. And they start saying things like this. Well, you know, I really should go to church more often, but I still believe and I still pray. It almost sort of begs the question, what do they really believe in and what are they really praying for? Why don't they go to church? Well, they think that they're living a life that's pretty good, at least when they compare themselves to some other people. Maybe they feel that they don't need God's grace and the forgiveness of sins that is given to them in the Word and Sacrament. If that is the case, then they have a different type of Messiah than one being presented by the Word of God here for today. They claim that they see Christ, but in reality, they don't. They don't see Christ here and now, in his Word and Sacrament, offering love and forgiveness of sins. Their belief in their own goodness is the way of setting up a God for themselves, and henceforth rejecting the God who comes to them in Word and Sacrament. Needless to say, Jesus was, yes, crucified by the, quote, good people of the world, not necessarily by the bad people, not by the quote-unquote sinners. So it sort of begs the question, why are you here and what type of Christ, what type of Messiah do you need? Do you need one who's going to be with you, who loves you and forgives you? Then you've come to the right place. If you want a Messiah who's going to change the economic future of the United States of America, or one who's going to give you a lot of wealth and success in this life, maybe you're looking the wrong direction. But before we start doing our head nodding and saying, oh yes, Pastor, we're here because of our sinfulness and our need of God, seeing God in word and sacrament, let me put it the way one author put it. As an author visited the 1987 Vancouver World's Fair, this particular author noticed that there was one of those Christian pavilions. And in this pavilion, there was a presentation of, quote-unquote, what Christianity is all about, which utilized a very wonderful graphic display, reverse photography, flashing lights. And the author really was not impressed. And afterwards, when asked by one of the presenters of this presentation, well, how did you like the, quote, show? The author protested using these words. The author was reacting to the presenter saying, well, this show has saved a lot of people. And the author says, saved, but by what kind of Christ? If people are saved by a spectacular Christ, will they find him in their own fumbling of their own devotional life or in the humble services of local parishes where pastors and organists make mistakes? Will a glitzy portrayal of Christ nurture in new believers his character of willing suffering and sacrificial obedience? Will it create an awareness of the idolatries of our age and lead to repentance? And does a flashy hard rock soundtrack bring people to a Christ who calls us away from the world's superficiality to a deeper reflection and meditation? Again, what kind of Christ are people looking for? Many claim, now we see him, but they really don't. So when it comes to who Christ is and what Christ does, do we look to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and saying, there is the forgiveness that I need? Or are we looking for something else? In our text for today, Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him, not with a lot of fanfare, but with a lot of humility. The cross is painful. It shows us our sins and our need for a Savior. And this is one of the reasons why we use the liturgy in our church, why we don't necessarily have a lot of pomp and circumstance, because in that liturgy, even though we may go through it every week, we may become very familiar with it, but as we look at the words of that liturgy, what do the words of the liturgy point us to? Does it not point us to the cross of Jesus as we begin with the confession and absolution? As we continue with the Kyrie, the prayer, Lord, have mercy? As we hear God coming to us in his word? And finally, at the highest point of the liturgy, where Christ comes to us with that bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. This isn't a Christ who is some motivational speaker or some Christ who lays out a whole bunch of morality, but a Christ who is there for you in the midst of your sin, showing you his love and his forgiveness. Yes, we struggle with sin. That sinful nature is alive and well with us. And so we need a Savior, a Messiah, who dies on the cross and restores us even in the midst of our sinfulness. Paul, in his first letter to Corinthians, describes it this way, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." St. Paul reminds us that even though we can keep our eyes focused upon the cross, we still don't have that perfect picture of God. Not until the sinful human nature of ours is finally rid of, when we will have a spiritual glorified body and we're with the Christ personally, face to face in heaven above. Until that time, we are going to struggle with that sinful nature. But we do not struggle in vain. We have Christ within us, a Messiah to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil, because that is who Jesus is. Maybe another answer needs to drive us back to the miracle of that blind man. Perhaps even after hearing and believing what Jesus has done and what we are to do, we can only best describe it as, Pastor, you're probably making as much sense as it's clear, as mud, so to speak. But yet we go back to the fact that we have been touched by God. We have been cured of our blindness. That original sin is now a struggle to be put down, but yet the victory is Christ and His alone. And yes, we're still waiting for the touch of that final healing, when our eyes will be perfect and we'll see Christ clearly for who He is. But now, as St. Paul reminds us, we see dimly. So let us not lose sight of the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior, our deliverer from sin, death, and the devil. That is who the Christ is. So we come before our Savior, seeking forgiveness for the many times we thought of Him to be our social deliverer, our economic deliverer, maybe the giant Santa Claus who gives us what we need. On the other hand, we need to admit and believe that while we enjoy the forgiveness of sins and the love that comes from Christ, it doesn't make sense to us in our human nature. We're always trying to grasp for things of this world instead of the things of God. So we come here today, just like that blind man came to Jesus, looking to be touched by Him. And we're waiting for Jesus to finish His work in our lives. Christ is the one who is going to come to us. In the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our dark world, He is the one who touches us, who calls us to follow Him. He is our Savior, the one who delivers us from sin, death, and the devil. Now we get to see Him. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.